Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying with us. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. 800-531-3815. Michael Cox is our guest and our good friend. He's been with us, I don't know, something under 1,000 times before. And he's Senior Vice President with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and their chief economist. And he is the co-author of an outstanding book, a very insightful book. It was actually nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, which is no mean feat there in and of itself, called Myths of Rich and Poor. But more importantly, he's our friend. Mike, welcome back.
Hey, Jim. Thank you.
Welcome back, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy 2003. Let's make it better than 2002.
There you go. My audience knows. They're probably getting tired of hearing me say this, but I'm signing up people to have a good 2003 with me.
It will be good.
So far, I haven't had anybody to turn me down. What do you think?
I would not turn you down. That was a year for people who dyslexic. So we won't have the next one until what? 2021-12.
Yeah, that's something like. I hadn't thought about that.
1991, 2002.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Interestingly enough, you want to talk about something that we really haven't focused on before. Not as a particular major topic. And you want to talk about the ladies, don't you?
I do. I want to talk about the economic progress of women. It's slowly changed the plight of women. You know, there's no glass ceiling for women significantly anymore.
Yeah.
And a lot of the liberal think tanks are still trying to go around and argue that there is, but the data just proves them wrong. So
does it support that, huh?
No.
Well, I'm sure the women out there are loving two guys talking about the future of women. They probably just think that's really great, don't they?
Right. We're doing our best, women.
We are doing our best. Well, you got a couple of sensitive guys like Jim and Mike. We're going to do what we can, aren't we?
I'm very sensitive. What do you mean?
No, seriously, folks. We're having a little fun here, but we are talking about a serious subject. And women have made huge, and there are probably women out there, Mike, who are saying, you know, how would you guys know? But the truth is, as you say, Mike, the data shows that women are making huge strides in the marketplace.
Well, it does, and you know, I'm sensitive enough to have studied it and collected the data and spent hours and hours and hours staring at it and
right,
wondering, you know, how long this is going to go on. And I think it will continue. I think it's a trend. We should understand why. But let me just give you a few statistics. In 1970, and I could take this back further, you'd see, but let's just do three decades. In 1970, only 0.9% of the graduating dentistry class was women. That's less than 1%. Today, it's 40%.
Wow.
In 1970, 5.5% of the graduating law degrees were being handed to women. The class in 2000 was 46%.
See, that's a little scary there.
Well, see,
I'm just teasing, ladies. Go ahead, Mike.
Medical degrees, 8% women, 1970. Graduating law school, medical class, 2000, 43%.
Wow. MBA, almost the same percentages, aren't they?
Yeah, MBA is up from 3.5% to 40%. And if you look at, you know, what's going on in our colleges, in 1970, 57% of the graduating class was men. 2000, 57% of the graduating class is women.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you keep coming up with these 40 percentiles. The other number, the small business number in there, is that's the number in the 40s, the percentage of businesses that are owned or controlled by women.
Right. And you'll see the same thing in here. I wish they'd get the 2002 statistics out, but that's, you know, going to take a while for the mm-hmm. government to generate those. They do that every 5 years.
You're getting this from the Census Bureau, aren't you?
I'm getting some of this from Census, some of it from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Uh-huh.
And some of it from the Department of Education. If you go to the National Center for Education Statistics, you can see all these things and a lot more. But, you know, there was a long-term trend for women becoming veterinaries or pharmacists and so on. And women are now mm-hmm. two-thirds of the graduating veterinary veterinarians are women. The pharmacy degrees, 66% women.
Wow, but,
women,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's, but women are getting into everything. And small businesses, as you mentioned, they have a lower unemployment rate than men, which is a trend that has been slowly going on for the last
one decades. Of the reasons why I think that is, believe it or not, is I think when men get unemployed and they're offered a job below where they were, it's harder on us guys to let our egos take a job like that, whereas women say, you know what, I got to work. I don't care what I do. I'm going to go to work until a better thing comes along. Don't you think that happens?
I think that's probably 10 or 15% of it. It's not the main thing.
The old male ego keeps getting in our way, no question about it. It also, the male ego is good for the world, too, by the way, folks, but it's, sometimes it gets in our way. 22, we're going to be right back with our good friend Michael Cox, author of Myths of Rich and Poor, right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. 17 till. I want to remind you, folks, President Bush is going to be announcing his economic stimulus package today at in Chicago at 1 o'clock Eastern. So check that out if you get a chance. Pay attention to that. We're going to be reporting on that tomorrow with our good friend Rich Galen. That's going to be toward the end of the show tomorrow. And then, but first up tomorrow, after I get through with my resolutions, will be John Spolster. He's our marketing, one of our marketing experts. And then after John, we'll have Tom Sullivan, who is the chief counsel for the Office of Advocacy at the SBA. And then after John, after Tom, we'll have Rich Galen and to talk about, we're going to cover what the president had to say about, and probably what the Democrats had to say about the economic stimulus, their respective economic stimulus packages. Michael Cox is our guest. He's a chief economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, the author of Myths of Rich and Poor. And we're talking about women in the marketplace. And you have some more statistics for us, Mike.
I do, and I want to say before I start off here again that these statistics are all widely available. You can go to census.gov and get some of the things on minority-owned business and women-owned businesses. You can go to BLS.gov, that's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and get data on unemployment rates and so on. You can go to the National Center for Education Statistics, NCES.gov, and get all these things on, you know, women and degrees and so on. Also, you can go to my book, Myths of Rich and Poor, and there's a section on women and minorities, how well they're doing. So it's all there. What I was going to tell you is that the unemployment rate for the first time ever is really significantly lower for women than for men. The unemployment rate in 1970 and back in the 60s and 70s and so on was about 2 percentage points higher for women than for men. But today, the unemployment rate for men, November 2002, the most recent statistic available, for men, unemployment rate 6.3%, for women 5.6%.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that all this is happening. It goes back to one main factor, and that's what people are used for in the labor force today as compared to yesterday. If you go back and think about what work was like in the 50s and before that, that was in the peak of the industrial age, and then you go back to the peak of the agrarian age, what people were expected to do at work was supply brute force, manual dexterity, motor skills, and, you know, that kind of thing. Coordinate a piece of machinery, equipment, make it work, run a stamping, pressing machine all day long. Before that, you know, operate a pick or a shovel, digging a hole, or planting vegetables.
There was a time when a woman going into the marketplace was possibly seen as taking a man's job, wasn't it?
Well, that's true, especially when men came back from the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what we need in the labor force today, we've evolved up what you might call a totem of talents, from the thing on the very bottom being physiological needs, one step up being manual dexterity, motor skills, one step up being formulaic intelligence. Today, at the top of this totem, we need personal skills to deal with clients and, you know, get contacts and have a good sense of how to, you know, get along with people. We need analytical reasoning. We need humor. We need imagination. We need everything. And if men ever did have an advantage back in the agrarian age or industrial age, they certainly don't have that advantage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, women are trained right alongside men in the same schools, one chair behind or one chair in front of the, or beside their compadre there, And they're going to, like I said, you know, all these, they tend to be able to sit down and study without as much jitteriness.
They believe in education. They want to learn more. Let me tell you another area that helps women really has helped women evolve into a very dynamic and a very dominating aspect of the small business community, and that is this style of management thing. One of the things that I talk about a lot, Mike, and I actually mentioned it earlier in the show, is the conversion that we're all needing to make in the marketplace, especially in small business, but really the whole marketplace, is a conversion from the dominator model of management to the partnering model of management.
Mm-hmm.
And women are better at building consensus. They're better at managing employing the partner model of management rather than the dominator model. The dominator model is not something that they do well. And the good news for them is the dominator model is the dinosaur of the marketplace right now.
Well, the good news, another part of the good news for women is that there are even jobs for women where they can be the dominators. I mean, for example, I believe the statistic is 15% of the police officers now are women.
Yeah.
There are certain jobs women just don't get into. For example, you'll find less than 1% of carpenters and less than 1% of taxi drivers. And women, but you know everything else is wide open. 55% of the accountants now are women.
Well, you know, Mike, look at the jobs that are available out there. What is it? 1 in 5 jobs. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 3 in 5 jobs were manufacturing. Now,
right.
Less than 1 in 5 jobs are manufacturing.
14%.
The upper body strength is less and less important in
exactly.
the marketplace, isn't it?
Exactly. And so what we need is up top in your cranium there, and there's certainly just as much there among women as the men. Women tend to score a little bit better on tests than men.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can sit down and study without being so nervous, and they can focus. And guys, perhaps it's our testosterone or whatever it is, it makes us, like you said, dominant in some ways and domineering, but it also, which makes us good for some competitive type, extremely
mm-hmm.
competitive type jobs, but it also can keep us from being able to sit down and focus. Now, we're making some gross generalizations here, but I it's great that there are differences between people because that's exactly what an economy needs in order to be able to make good gains from trade. So we should celebrate these differences rather than denigrate them. We're just trying to give here recognition to the fact and celebrate the fact that if women aren't held back like they once were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, for us guys who are in the marketplace, we have to realize these things. That's the reason why when I talk about these things on the show, and my audience knows, Mike, that we cover women's issues quite a lot on this show. And the thing is that it's good information for us guys because we need to realize what's going on out there in the marketplace. We're being introduced to some changes, and we've got to be prepared for those changes. And part of those big changes are the position, the roles that women are taking in the marketplace. Stand by, Tim Till, right back. Stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. Michael Cox is our guest. He's chief economist and senior vice president with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And folks, I want to make sure you go to that website real soon. It's DallasFed, DallasFed.org. And I just want to remind you of something you heard me say before. This is not your grandfather's Federal Reserve Bank website. This is a hip, cool, rockin' and rollin' website. If Michael Cox and Bob McTeer have anything to do with it, you know it's going to be pretty cool. And I want to encourage you to go there and ask for their most recent annual report, which would be the 2001. But don't worry, that it's a little bit late. It's good stuff. And of course, you got the 2002 coming out. What, in about 3 months?
Yeah, 2 months. Right.
2 months. All right. Good. And you'll be back, Michael, to talk to us about that. But you can go there and get it for free. They'll send you a copy. Just ask them for it. And read some of the things they have to say there. There's some really good information. I've learned a lot about the marketplace that's helped me in my small business just from their annual report. This is not just numbers, folks. There's some outstanding research in there. What's the theme of the new one going to be, Mike?
Trade.
Trade? All right. That's exciting to me. Okay. We're talking about women in the marketplace. Mike, how are women doing? One of the big deals with women has been over the years that women don't make as much as men. How are they doing on that front?
Right, and the typical thing is that women have a glass ceiling. If you look at the overall statistics for women of all ages who work, it's from 16 to 65, the figure is about women make about 70 to 75% of what men do. Mm-hmm. But that statistic is not really the best way to look at it, and I'm not trying to bias the results here. What I'm trying to do is get a comparable groups. Let's look at people of equal education, mm-hmm. Same
equal,
age.
Equal tenure in the marketplace.
Equal tenure in the marketplace and roughly the same age.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at women aged 25 to 34 who have the same education levels as men and have been in the workforce for the same number of years, they have not got out to raise kids. See, the average number of years that a woman leaves the workforce to raise kids is 6 years.
Yeah.
When you do that, you get off the train keeps going down the track. You can't expect to get back on the same car. So, but if you look at that age group I'm talking about, women in that age group in that same demographic slice make 98% of men.
98%.
98%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could just be statistics. Even that 2% could be in
that's statistical error, couldn't it?
Could be, yeah. And one day it may be 102%. It may even be today because that statistic I gave you is 2 or 3 years old as the data lags the real world.
Well, and as more women become commissioned salespeople, and they'll tell you, you know, many of them will tell you that they're better than men at that, then they can leverage their own income above 100%. But that's
right.
A very interesting statistic, but it's not the one that you typically hear from the feminists, though, is it?
No, it's not.
They typically lump all wage earners together and then divide them by gender and then do the math on it.
That's really
an inappropriate way to look at it, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, we have a lot of this staring us right in the face. Of course, it's anecdotal, but we need to recognize that it reflects an underlying trend. Biggest earning entertainer in the market, Oprah Winfrey, $100 million a year. Women have, there are certainly no barriers to women getting into music, country music, every kind of music, and you know, movies, everything.
And now, clearly, it wasn't always so. Clearly,
That's right. Clearly
until, and you know, prior to, depending on the industry, could be 5 years ago, could be 10, 20, 30 years ago, depending on the industry and everything. Clearly, it wasn't always so, but the point that I think you're making, Mike, are the incredible strides that women are making. And when we talk about how well they're being paid compared to men, that's not propaganda, folks. That's, to me, that ought to be good news for women. That statistic you gave about the 98%, that ought to make young women say, yeah, this is worth me fighting for because I'm not going to be disadvantaged.
If you want to pick up another book on this, pick up the book Women's Figures by Diana Firstgott-Roth and Christine Stolba. It's an illustrated guide to the economic progress of women in America.
Women's Figures, okay.
The authors are both women, and they're extremely well researched on this subject, and have written two books on this now. I think they have a new one coming out. It's not that I called one of them the other day and tried to get some new statistics.
Are there any? I know there are plenty of women in the Fed. Are there any women bank presidents?
Yes, Kathy Minahan, Boston Fed.
The Baltimore Fed? Okay.
Boston Fed,
uh-huh.
New president of the Cleveland Fed is a woman now.
All right.
Oh, gosh, I wonder. I'm sorry.
Well, we had Alice
Rivlin.
Rivlin was the vice chairman.
Right, and then one of the governors now, Governor Dyess, is women, is a woman.
A lot of great strides that are being made. And, Michael, I appreciate you bringing it to us. Ladies, we apologize for doing this, just a couple of knuckleheads talking about it, but we're doing it for the right reasons. And, Michael, good job today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Michael Cox, ladies and gentlemen, author of Myths of Rich and Poor. There's still some out there available wherever books are sold. Check that out. Don't forget to check out DallasFed.org. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one of you. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.